We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Mark, as we know, there's a lot of interest in the Republican gubernatorial primary between Ken Block and Alan Fung. And a big part of Fung's strategy against Block is pointing out how Block twice voted for President Obama. Do you think that's a good strategy?
Well, I do know that Mayor Fung had the difficulty of dealing with a candidate who doesn't have a record. So he had to find something to be running against that in a Republican primary where we expect a Democratic turnout to be strong. That's not a bad strategy to make sure that you point out the un-Republicanism of both candidates.
And meanwhile, Block has said that his private sector experience gives him the background to be governor. Are you comfortable with the idea of someone who has never held elective office possibly moving into the state's top job?
I am. It's not unprecedented. It works all the time. Bringing a fresh view to the job will definitely make a difference at the same time. Knowing and understanding how the ropes work, knowing who the players are, it would be much stronger. So it's a toss-up. What do we really need? Do we need someone who knows the ropes, or do we need somebody with completely different ideas?
Let's go to Scott.
There's 113 seats, as you know, in the General Assembly. How many Republicans do you expect, viable Republicans, that you'll have to compete this year for those seats?
Viability. Now, this number changes all the time.
Of course.
Coming up to this, but at least 40 candidates will be viable. They will be in districts that we feel we have a shot at, and they will actually be candidates that could win an election.
And you'll have grassroots support and financial support for them?
Correct.
What lessons has the GOP learned from its struggles in electing more Republicans to the General Assembly for the last 10 years or so?
Well, that we really need to get back into the Hispanic community, which we've worked really hard at in the last year. We need to open up a dialogue with the Black community and all minority communities. What we learned in the Robitaille Chafee battle for governor was you can win the outside of the state, the exterior of the core, and still very easily lose a gubernatorial race. We refer to it as the Robitaille map. You look at where he won and where Governor Chafee won, and you'd be amazed that Governor Chafee won.
Well, not exactly. If you look at where Chafee won, it was Providence, right. Metro Providence, places like East Providence, Cranston. Minor victory for Chafee and Warwick. I thought it would be better. And I think Coventry was the only real swing community that John Robitaille carried. So it really wasn't that surprising.
When you just look at the map, absolutely. It's surprising to see how much he had won and still lost the race. So that really drives the point home to us that the center of the state, the Providence urban community is, and that's the greater Providence urban community. We've got to do better in that.
Now, Rhode Island Republicans plan to offer their endorsement to either Alan Fung or Ken Block this coming Thursday. The Rhode Island Democratic Party has decided not to issue an endorsement in its primary with Angel Taveras, Gina Raimondo, and Clay Pell. What do you think the impact of that is in the Democratic primary?
Recently, someone told me there'd be less blood on the ground, and that's probably the case. It's such brand new information. I really haven't had a whole lot of time to give that part of it a thought. We are preparing for our own state convention next week.
For Republicans, you know, I've looked at the past here. In 1994, an unendorsed candidate, Link Almond, won. 2002, Don Kachiri, unendorsed candidate, won. So it doesn't seem to hurt your party that much in contested elections.
The advantage to getting the endorsement is not necessarily that all Republicans are going to follow suit.
Right.
The advantage is, and I hope that it makes a big difference this year because I've concentrated so much on the grassroots and the machinery of elections that once the endorsement happens, all of that becomes available to the endorsed candidate. So it may make a bigger difference in the future. We'll see what happens.
We've had an interesting situation in Rhode Island considering how Republicans here have been out front in opposing the inclusion of money to pay back 38 studios investors. How do you respond to people on the other side of the issue who say that not including that money would tarnish Rhode Island's reputation and drive up the cost of borrowing?
Well, from what we see, and what we've been seeing is that it's unlikely that the actual cost of 38 studios would exceed the price paid for the rating increase. So it's a balancing act. Does it hurt our reputation? Actually, I'm not so against hurting the reputation against a moral obligation bond. I don't think we should be doing that. We have a mechanism for issuing bonds that are required, the voters are allowed to vote for it. So this is a way to bypass that system, and we shouldn't be doing that in the first place.
We're talking here with State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley, and now back to Scott.
You know, New England's one of the ancestral homes of the Republican Party. Why do you think it is now that there is not one New England U.S. House member who's a Republican in all six states?
Well, the RNC has really been scratching their head about that over the last year and a half. And they've come up with the plan. They're actually sending real support to me. They're sending real support into New England because they did. They got blanked. And they recognize that you can't completely lose New England and New York State and expect to be able to have a president. So they're actually giving us support where traditionally we haven't seen anything from them for so long that it really hasn't mattered. Some of our candidates sometimes get some money. In the last election, Brendan Daugherty got some money out of Washington, but not directly to the party.
Well, speaking of support, one of the state GOP's best prospects is Republican candidate for Attorney General Dawson Hodgson. What is your party's plan for helping Hodgson to beat a much better funded Democratic candidate, incumbent Attorney General Peter Kilmartin?
Well, again, it comes down to getting that ground game together and making sure our voters get to the polls. So we're in the process of sorting out just exactly who we believe will vote for Dawson or our other candidates, and then we will reverse that in late October and make sure that we call them back and make sure they get to the polls. And this is not unheard of. It's been done all along. We just have a greater capacity to do it.
I think actually Lieutenant Governor might be one of your better shots this year with Catherine Taylor, who's a good candidate. Last time, almost elected Secretary of State. She's a hard worker, and I'm wondering if you think you can put her over.
I actually do. And the reason for that, and she is a very strong candidate, but you know, Catherine is chasing a promotion of the job that she's done so well for Lincoln Chafee over the last 4 years, which is the Director of Elderly Affairs. Her board was chaired by Liz Roberts. And so what she's looking to do is take that job and bring her healthcare background forward into that race, which it's starting to look like that's what the lieutenant governor's job will actually turn into. So that's why she chose to go to that race, and I really support it.
On a related note, are we going to see competitive Republican candidates this year for treasurer and secretary of state?
You will see one for secretary of state. There's still discussions about treasurer, but we haven't announced candidate John Colivar of Colival. I got to learn how to spell his say his name a little
Carnivale.
Better. He's Carnivale. It's C-A-R-L-A-V-A-L-E. So, I don't know.
No disrespect to John, but he's run a number of times, and he has not gotten a whole lot of votes. So is he going to be your party's main candidate for that office?
He will. Uh-huh. He will, and he hasn't run in 25 years, something like that. So he's been part of Access Rhode Island ever since.
It looks like Jack Reed has the safest Democratic U.S. Senate seat in the country. Do you have anybody lined up who's going to run against him?
We do, and we're not ready to come out with that. Obviously, there's been an issue down in Warwick,
right.
And so that's stymied our prospects up to that point, but there were still people in the wings, and so we'll have somebody in there at least to bring Senator Reed to the podium and make him tell us what he's up to for the next 6 years.
Two Republicans, Cormac Lynch and Stan Tran, are running in the 1st Congressional District for the seat held by David Cicilline. These are both first-time candidates. Do you think this is really the right focus for first-time candidates to run for Congress, a high-level job?
Well, I think both of them, from an education standpoint and qualifications, could certainly handle the job. This is what their passion was. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get down to Washington and change things in Washington. That's the way to handle that. Running for town council may have given them a little bit more of an idea how the ropes work, but in the end, you need to chase your passion.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley.
Thank you very much.